He loved everyone. He loved the sinner. He loved everyone. He came to seek the lost. And I look and I say, Lord, love. That's how you rule. That's how you win. That's how you show who you truly are, one of the King's kids. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Welcome to Love Never Fails, everyone. If you're joining us for the first time, we're currently airing Pastor Bill's in-depth study from the New Testament Epistle of Romans. We'll continue the study today with the message entitled, One Man. Now, Pastor Bill.
Amen. Let's turn this morning to the fifth chapter of Romans as we're doing an in-depth study on Sunday mornings through the entire epistle of Romans. What a wonderful book. I consider it the greatest 16 chapters ever written on the face of the earth. But we left off last Sunday with having been justified, having been declared righteous before God. That is our standing. And remember that our standing is perfect. Boy, isn't that a tough one to say? But our standing before God is not only perfect, it's immutable if we're truly a born-again believer. Immutable means it is unchanging. Not only is it unchanging, we look at it, it's guaranteed by our Father in heaven who cannot lie. So it's so important that we remember that, that from last Sunday's lesson, that we stand in the perfect standing of God, His perfect divine favor, not just maybe once a day, but 24/7, forever and ever and ever and ever. We have that continual access, continual acceptance before God the Father, and that is a consistent thing. It's forever and ever because we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? That doesn't mean people, you know, had an email say, now, Bill, are you saying once saved, always saved? I'm saying if you're truly saved, you're saved. You know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, if you're born from above, we've been covering, for example, justification. Now, after we finish this chapter this morning, when we begin chapter 6 of Romans, then begins the process of sanctification, learning about that. But when a person is born from above, they're changed. They don't continue to live the way they used to live. If they continue to live the way they used to live, they're not changed. Does that make sense? Okay, so now that we have that settled, let's take up another offering then. And this morning I want to talk to you about two men. One is our Lord, of course, and the other is Adam. And, you know, from verse 12 to verse 21, this is really more doctrinal, deep doctrinal stuff than we found previously, even though it's all been deep. But we tend now when we get to these verses that we kind of shut down because there's big words and it seems repetitive. And I'm asking you in the name of Jesus not to shut down this morning. Amen. And don't say, well, Bill, we've read Romans or had this so many. I'm an old timer. I've, you know, been through. No, 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 no. Listen, when Paul penned Romans, he didn't say, now this is doctrinal. It's going to be dry. It's going to be boring. He didn't do that at all. Every time he wrote a word, I'm telling you, he was exploding in his spirit and his heart with joy. Amen? And so must we, because when we understand all that God has done for us, I'm telling you, we should be the most rejoicing people in the world. Let me ask you a question, or two questions. Number one, what makes an individual who knows to do what is right? They know it's the right thing to do, but they turn around and do what is wrong. And not only that, why is it that people die? You know, why are we here and why are we going to face death one day? Well, only the Bible gives us the explanation. Amen? So let's look this morning, beginning in chapter 5, verse 12. It says, therefore, just as one man, sin entered the world. And if that means if sin entered the human race, it means at one time sin wasn't in the human race. So at one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. It penetrated every person. It spread. It was unable to stop. And the reason? Because every person ever born, it says, all sinned. Think about that for a minute. You know, look at the mess of this world. Look at it. I don't find any beauty in the world. I find much carnage, don't you? I look out today and there's death after death, murder after murder. Where did it all come from? Well, it says that sin entered this world through one person and one person only. It came through Adam into the human race. Now listen, it says it entered through Adam. It didn't say that it originated or that Adam was the source of sin. We know who sinned from the beginning. That's the devil, amen? We know he's the one that caused Adam and Eve to sin because of lies. But remember there in the Garden of Eden, I mean, what a place it must have been. Beautiful, luscious, perfect environment. I mean, you probably never even sweat in the Garden of Eden. You understand? It was a perfect day every day. Adam and Eve, they never woke up and said, well, it's time to wake up and I wonder if God loves me today. I wonder if it's going to be a good day. No, I mean, they probably woke up and Adam said, I wonder if there's any more animals out there to name or something. I don't know. And they say, hey, we haven't eaten down there. Let's eat some, or whatever. It was a perfect day. They didn't have any fear. They didn't know what depression was or any of those things. They lived in a perfect world, a perfect environment that God had created for them. Now, and God told them both, said, listen, be fruitful and multiply the whole bit. But he said, listen, you have dominion over everything. You're the master. You have the earthly rule, Adam. Think about that. So God gave unto Adam the dominion of everything in the Garden of Eden except one thing. Actually, except just a few square feet probably of some soil on where there was a tree that was standing. And God says, don't mess with that tree. Remember what God commanded in Genesis 2:16? God said this. He said, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now listen, Adam could have sat under the tree and said, hey, it's a pretty good shade tree. He could have been and say, hey, Adam, Eve, let's climb up and see what's going on in the tree and sit on the branch. It would have been cool. You know, he could have even looked at the fruit and said, wow, I'm not going to eat that. Do you understand me? He could have done all those things and never been in trouble with the Lord. God gave only one law in the garden. He gave only one command. Listen, they had only one single restriction on the entire planet or in the Garden of Eden. Think about that. Just one stinking thing. That's it. And I look and I say, dear Lord, I mean, Adam, what's going on here? I mean, did Adam have free will? Of course he did. God gives man free will. That would be horrible. We're not a bunch of robots programmed to love him, whether we like it or not. No, God doesn't operate like that. Adam and Eve were in a perfect environment. They were innocent. They had absolutely no knowledge of evil. They had only the knowledge that God had granted them to have. And there they were, their vocabulary totally different than ours. The word hate wasn't in their vocabulary. The words probably cancer, sickness, that wasn't in their vocabulary at all. And then we know what happened. The devil comes along, the originator, the source, the father of every lie that's ever been told, the one who sinned from the very beginning. It says in Genesis 3:4, and then the serpent, that's the devil, that's Satan, it says, he said to the woman, oh, surely you won't die. For God knows in the day that you eat, meaning eat of that tree, your eyes will be opened. Eve, you know, you're not really living the good life. You know, you're really kind of a blind woman, if you don't mind. You don't see through it. You're deceived. God doesn't want you to have the good life. No, your eyes are going to be open. And listen to what it says. And you're going to be just like God. Just like God. And if I was Eve, I would have said, well, my gosh, what's wrong with being like God? There's nothing wrong with that. And then he says, and you'll know good and evil. And so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit, she ate. Eve just became something she had never been ever in her life, a sinner. I don't know how long they lived in the garden. But finally, that serpent, the master, the devil always comes as a master of disguise. He appears as an angel of light. And as I've told you many times before, the first person that Satan ever attacked in our human history was a woman. The first person that Satan ever lied to was a woman. The first person that Satan ever tempted was a woman. And the first person ever to believe a lie was a woman. Where was Adam? Why wasn't he there? Why wasn't he protecting, if you will, his wife? Now, I look at all that, and it says that she took, she ate, meaning she became a sinner. She also gave her husband with her, and he ate. And the moment that he did that, everything changed. I believe immediately, not only were their eyes opened, but decay started in their bodies, meaning they were beginning to age. We know that they died spiritually. They were in broken fellowship with God. And later on, they would die physically. So here, all mankind sinned because Eve acted on one sentence, just a bunch of words. But Adam, remember, Eve was deceived, the Bible says. Adam, of his own volition, he willingly disobeyed the verbal command, the known verbal command from God. Now, the result of that sin, and by the way, in the Greek, that sin is singular. It's not plural like sins. It's that one sin, or could even read the sin. It came through one man, and so sin entered the human race. Later on, after they were removed from the garden, remember in Genesis chapter 5, in verse 3, it talks about Adam and how that he was 130 years old when he begat a son in his own likeness, in his own image, fallen likeness, okay, and called his name Seth. Seth was born a sinner. Think about that, the first sinner born upon earth. And like Adam's son, all of us, by imputation, because we are in Adam, we have all received or become sinners as well, because Adam is the father, if you will, or the federal head of the human race. That means he, in the garden, he both represented us, and in his loins, he also contained us as well. And so every person that's ever been born, they're in Adam. And the reason that they're in Adam is because we share his DNA. Are you following me so far? Okay, so Adam's sin became mankind's sin, and the result of that, it brought something called death into this life, and it spread to all men. Isn't it amazing that death, which was not in the garden, wasn't part of God's plan, but death was, if you will, introduced into the world, and it was introduced by sin. You know, sin is deeper than we can ever imagine. See, we've never lived without sin. Does that make sense? We've never lived in a body that doesn't have any impulse, never an impulse to tell a lie. Have you? Never. I mean, I've never wanted to tell a lie in my life. Anybody can say that? No. I mean, it's not like, what? I don't lie. I've never lied, never will lie. I've never lived in that kind of body. Does that make sense? But see, and with Adam, he messed everything up. Yes, Adam and Eve were forgiven because what did God do? Remember, he took them there and he killed a couple of animals, and he, meaning a blood sacrifice, and he clothed them and sent them out of the garden. But when I look at all these things, by one man, just one person, one act, death entered the human race. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:21, it says, "For since by man came death," meaning Adam, "by man," meaning our Lord, "also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive." We have never, since the beginning of Adam, we have never ever lived without death. I mean, our world is full of cemeteries, isn't it? They have the obituaries or in the paper. So every person on this earth, you know, they ask, well, why must I die? Why am I going to die? Well, the only answer that's ever given, and the correct answer is found only in the Word of God. Death is universal, and the reason it's universal is because of Adam. But listen carefully. We don't die by our acts of sin. Now, we could die if we went out and got wasted or something, had a car wreck. Well, the reason we died was because of that. But that's not what this is teaching here. We don't die today because of acts of our own sin. Man dies today. Why? Because we're a descendant of Adam. Does that make sense? He's the one who brought death. He's the one that brought sin. You know, when a little baby, God forbid, but when a little lovable baby dies at birth or right after birth, they're not sinning, but yet they die. But the reason that they did die is because they are in Adam. You see, at the end of verse 12 where it says, "because all sinned," that's past tense, meaning that all sinned when Adam sinned. You know, for example, you know, my heritage, we come you know, like my name is Quinn, but my real name when we came to this country was O'Quinn. And so we came from Ireland. And so my great-great-grandfather, when he left Ireland and came over to this country, when he was in Ireland, was I, in a way, in Ireland with him? I was in his loins, amen? Hello, come on. Yeah, whenever he left Ireland, did Bill leave Ireland with him? Of course he did. When he landed in America, there he came to Ohio, became a doctor. Did I arrive with him? Yes. You know, the person who led me to the Lord is a direct descendant of William Bradford, who came over on the Mayflower, who was the governor there at Plymouth Colony, Plymouth Rock or whatnot. Well, was he in the loins of William Bradford when he arrived here? Yes, direct descent. Came all the way down, and one day, what did he do? He was walking along on a beach, and he led this old guy to the Lord. Listen, you see, we're all connected there. It's so important that we see that. It's like the perfect example is found in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 9, when it says, even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he, meaning Levi, was still in the loins, or he was still unborn of his father Abraham. Abraham, even though Levi wasn't born yet, or the Levitical priesthood, Abraham paid tithes. Levi paid tithes through him because Abraham functions as his representative. Same thing with us. We are in Adam. He's the federal head of the human race. Now, when he sinned, we sinned. When he fell, we fell. When he died, we died. Are you following me? When he was separated from God, all of humanity was separated from God. When God judged him, God judged all men because we're in the federal head. We're in Adam. And we sin because of our fallen nature. That's why a person sins. Listen, you don't teach a little child, when your children start growing up. Do you know, you don't teach them, I want you to disobey. You hear me? You don't do that, do you? No, it's like, you know, they're born and everybody, oh, they're the most perfect grandchild. Oh, you know, hello. You know, perfect. You know what I'm trying to say? Oh, look at that. And then about 3 months later, you go, I believe there is depravity, you know. But you know what I'm saying? Why? Well, because the fact is that they are rebels. They're born rebels. They're born, they have Adam in them. They're in the Adams family. Do you understand? Do you know how weird it is to be in the Adams family? It's terrible, loved one, terrible. Listen, you don't have to teach that little one to be selfish. They are already selfish. Go work in the nursery for just 3 Sundays. And you go, whoo, little Adam, little Adam, little Adam. Yes. Oh, yeah. That's why, you know, you don't teach them to lie. You teach them not to lie. And all of that proceeds out of the heart. Why? We have a fallen nature. Does that make sense? Adam is always trying to rule, always trying to be on the throne of our heart. Look at verse 13 now. It says, for until, or literally before the law of Moses, before the law was in the world, but sin is not put to someone's account. It's not reckoned against them. It's not imputed when there is no law. So before the Ten Commandments, before the law of Moses was given, did man sin? Yeah, they sinned. Did they rebel? Boy, they were rebels, all of them, you know, and they rebelled against God. But they did not break the law of Moses. They couldn't have broken the law of Moses because it was not yet given, even though they did things that the law of Moses forbid. Now, Cain killed Abel. But when Cain killed Abel, had God said, thou shalt not murder? No, it hadn't happened. So he did not transgress, if you will. It couldn't be reckoned against him because that law had not been given, even though he was yet still a murderer. Even the same thing with the people in the flood in the times of Noah. There's no law. No. So it can't be reckoned, if you will, against them. You know, it's like I gave you the illustration, I think it was last Sunday, about if there is no law, how can you break it? And I was talking to you, remember, about the illustration I used is when I was a teenager, you know, that used to be, instead of a Burger Hut, it was a real Dairy Queen. You know, back in the good days when they really cooked hamburgers, you know what I'm talking about, and where people really went to, and there was a jukebox in there and all those things, and it was a fun place to go to. And I could get in my 57 Chevrolet, I could leave the Dairy Queen and drive all the way down 377 to Denton, Texas, and never have to stop. And the reason is because there were not any red lights. Does that make sense? So, and finally, they did put a red light in. Now, if I had ran that red light, would I have transgressed? Yes, because they passed a law. Never mind. Look at verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned, even though there was no law that had been given. Death still was reigning. And literally, that word reign means, I want you to look that up when you get home in the Greek. It means reigned as king, reigned as with absolute authority, like a monarch, if you will. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. There wasn't any law then, okay? Even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. That type meaning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now listen, death reigned. It passed all the way to all men, not because we sinned, but because we are in Adam, and when we are in Adam and we're born, then we are sinners. So that human race is under the sin of death, but they didn't even bring it upon themselves. Adam caused all of it. Now, it says there, according to, what does it say? Even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of Adam's transgression. There's no way that any human being after Adam could ever sin the sin that Adam sinned in the garden, because God put up, remember, the cherubim with flaming swords and so forth to guard the entryway to the Garden of Eden. So no one could ever go in there, and no one could ever partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil again. So that one transgression, that one sin, belongs only to one man, and it belonged to Adam. And because of that, we die. Because of that, we sometimes sin. You know, death, a subject that we, many people, who wants to talk about death? And I do understand that. But the fact of the matter is that when a person dies, we die. And you know, and if, you know, they have a death certificate there, and the coroner comes in, and there's a little space there on the, and it says cause of death. And they'll write in heart attack or whatever it might be. But the truth is, they should write, when it says cause of death, they should say Adam. No, that's it. They should say Adam. That's the reason. It's Adam's fault. He did it. He did it. It was Adam. It was his sin. That's why people die. Now, you know, the doctrine, that doctrine is very important, because there are certain cults today that teach the opposite. But we need to always remember that we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. Does that make sense? Yes. Okay, look at verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. In other words, the offense of Adam. For if by one man's offense, Adam, what he did, it caused sin, brought death, many died, oh, just because he ate. Much more the grace, the unmerited, the undeserving favor of God, the grace of God, and here it comes, and the gift, that gift is justification and eternal life, and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflowed, abounded to many. Boy, thank God. Listen, God's grace is greater than all of the accumulated sin for all time. God's grace is deeper, it's wider, it overflows. That's why grace reigns as king. Now listen, Calvin put it this way, Christ is much more powerful to save than Adam was to destroy. We have that abounding life, and the reason that we do is because we're born again. We're a new creation in Christ. We're partakers of his divine nature. Speaking of death, it says in 2 Timothy 1:10, it says, our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the good news or through the gospel. Listen to this one commentator. I really like what he said about this. He says, Jesus Christ broke the power of sin and death, but the converse is not true. Sin and death cannot break the power of Jesus Christ. The condemnation of Adam's sin is reversible. The redemption of Christ Jesus is not. The effect of Adam's act is permanent only if not nullified by Christ. The effect of Christ's act, however, is permanent for believing individuals and not subject to reversal, not subject to nullification. We have, as believers, the great assurance that once we are in Christ Jesus, we are in him forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen?
Well, that's all of our time for today, but Pastor will conclude this message on tomorrow's program, and we hope you'll tune in once again. Thanks so much for listening to the broadcast. May the Lord bless the rest of your day, and so long for now.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.